I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Brian Honigman. Brian is a marketing consultant, freelance writer, and speaker. He works with both hot startups like Sumall and big brands like Dell, focused on building their content marketing and social media strategy. Brian has spoken at NYU, UNICEF, Huffington Post Live, and for other organizations and conferences. He's a contributing writer to the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, the World Economic Forum, Entrepreneur Magazine, and others. Brian, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also, I want to thank Dory Clark, who connected us. Dory was on episode 51 of Smashing the Plateau. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Mixed bag, working at both agencies and brands and small startups, just a little bit of everything, which has been really helpful throughout my entire career. So I started at a few small, originally from Pittsburgh. It's where I went to school. I worked at a few small startups. From there, I worked at Lunametrics, a digital marketing agency where I focused on SEO. From there, I worked at Marc Ecko, where I focused mainly on social and SEO and helping their fashion brands just, you know, better, package themselves in terms of their messaging. And then from at least the last 2 years, I've been working for myself as a marketing consultant, helping brands and small companies do those same things better. Develop a plan, a strategy for how to approach content marketing and social media. So my variety of experience has been really helpful in driving and kind of evolving myself as a professional and to what I'm doing today. And a lot of that has come through writing. So contributing to a lot of different sites in the industry has given me the opportunity to try a lot of new things out, have a lot of new opportunities come my way, and just kind of get my voice out there, as opposed to working at an agency and just kind of being a cog in the wheel. I actually had a voice and was able to kind of grow through that. So I think that's probably kind of one of the more notable, interesting things about my career to date. It's actually how I gotten a few jobs and a couple other opportunities that have come my way.
By creating your own written content.
Yeah. So by blogging for my own site, for blogging for my employers, and then also contributing to both big and small blogs and publications in the industry.
What do you see as some of the challenges for creating written content when you have an employer?
There's a few. So I feel like a lot of businesses make the mistake of just blogging for the sake of blogging and not really understanding, one, what their goals are, two, who their audience is, three, kind of what kind of content their audience, once they identify it, will actually kind of enjoy, like what matches their interests, their needs as it relates to your offerings, and then also how they're going to distribute it. I think, writing quality content is absolutely critical, right? You want to, or whatever type of content you produce, but especially with writing. But a lot of businesses in the beginning just feel like, oh, we should be blogging once a week because that's the standard. Whereas they need to kind of pull back a little bit, especially in the beginning, and think about how are we actually going to distribute this content as well so that we get it to the right people so that, they can see that this great work that we've invested in terms of, man hours and kind of part of our greater marketing budget. So I think those are some of the key issues businesses face when they're trying to first tackle content and specifically with writing, like on a blog.
So understanding why you're writing it in the first place, why you're creating this content, who you'd like to be able to receive it and absorb it, and how you're going to get it into their hands or in front of their eyes or ears or whatever method you're going to use.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What are some of the ways that people don't think about how to get it into their hands when they're starting out in this process?
So one thing I like to do, regardless of client or, you know, when I was an employee previously, is just figuring out like where our ideal audience is active online, especially. So do they spend time on Facebook versus LinkedIn? Are they reading publication A or publication B? You know, are they active in this community versus another? So like, you know, are they reading Business Insider? Are they reading Huffington Post? And having that kind of inform your direction in a lot of ways will help you understand, okay, so if our client, our ideal client, our ideal customer is very active on LinkedIn, let's potentially create written content that's focused on a more professional level, and then let's distribute it on LinkedIn once we, you know, have everything squared away, because that's where our audience is active. That's where we can add our content to their existing experiences they're already having. Another thing that I wouldn't go as far as saying it's easy, but it's a great, you know, really doable way of producing and distributing your content effectively, is creating one form of content. So let's use a blog as an example. Using your blog as kind of a hub for all of your company's content, and then repurposing it into a few different formats so that you're putting in the same amount of work, but you can actually potentially double its distribution to the right audiences. So for example, you spend, you know, let's say 4 or 5 hours creating a really great in-depth blog post that kind of explores the ins and outs of a common customer challenge. It's a great piece. There's a strong story element to it, and it really ties back to your offerings as a business. One thing you can do with that piece is kind of make it into a SlideShare, potentially, if that's, you know, something that would make sense for reaching your particular audience. So a SlideShare, if anyone isn't familiar, is it's like a social network that is owned by LinkedIn, and it's basically the online version of PowerPoint. So you can kind of, from the effort you already put into developing this really crisp article that, you know, really hits where the interests of your audience, you can repurpose it into a SlideShare that, you know, focus on the same elements that the article addressed, but in visual format, so that you have a potential of reaching a wider audience, but with not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Brian, so, how do you know where your potential audience is online?
A few different ways. It's not always easy task. So doing a survey with your existing audience, just knowing who your existing customers are, doing research on these different channels, platforms, websites, and seeing what is their typical kind of user demographics, like, you know, what type of person is most commonly active on this channel. Is it men, you know, 35 to 50? Is it mothers, you know, whatever it is, understanding kind of the demographics of a particular channel, and then applying that to what you do know about your customer base. So ideally, you can get feedback from existing customers. You could run a focus group. You can do research online. You can look at, if you have a website for your business, which, I mean, I hope most businesses do at this point, you can look at your analytics and see if you can get any insightful information from there. So let's say, you know, your most trafficked blog posts, the section of your websites that are interacted with the most, you can kind of look at your analytics, maybe use Google Analytics or Omniture or what have you, and see where is that traffic coming from? What countries are those people that are visiting your website coming from? That can be very insightful into kind of pulling together like customer profiles to understand who you're trying to reach with your business overall. And then with that understanding, you can kind of pivot to content. And okay, so this is who we're trying to reach with our offerings, our service or product offerings. Now, how do we create content that also serves that same customer and kind of helps establish a relationship of trust with them over time.
Brian, why do you think social networks are so important in business today?
Why are they? I think they're so important is because they really let businesses and their customers communicate. Never before were we able to have this kind of one-to-one conversation and also kind of get to see it behind the scenes a little bit and really understand the people behind the business, which is really an important way of kind of building trust between a customer and a business. And just kind of like from a customer service angle, I feel like many consumers today, not all, know that they can get results from if they're having an issue with the company far quicker than previously. So for instance, if I'm 27, everyone in my not everyone, but most people in my age range know that you can tweet at a company and potentially get results if you are having a bad experience with them. That is far more likely to impact them than you sitting on the phone, getting, listening, talking to customer service, being directed. You have to go through the whole prompt thing. It's just not a good experience, where social kind of allows it to be a low touch way for you to provide feedback to a company and ideally get some response from it. Not always. A lot of companies don't know how to use social correctly, especially with their customer service needs, but it's a great way of kind of bringing some authenticity to the table and keeping businesses accountable. I'm sure there's, it's far more difficult to be deceptive as a business. You have to be, which is a good thing. I don't think business should be deceptive. It just, unfortunately, that's just kind of an unfortunate human nature at times. But this way, by being out in the open and communicating directly in a public format, businesses are more accountable to their customers and their customer needs. I don't think social media is a requirement for all businesses. I think many businesses succeed without it and will continue to succeed without using social media. But I think using social media can, really impact the success of your business if used correctly.
So if you're not using social media and your business seems to be doing okay, how do you know whether or not you should start to add a social media component to your business?
Just like anything else, with testing and kind of listening to the looking at the data and listening to any feedback that you're getting and your intuition. So, one, experimenting is always a good thing. You can always try these out and see if you're, getting results as the effort you're putting into using Facebook and Twitter as a business, producing any results, in balance with how much time you're putting into it. So are you able to, address your customers? Are you driving more sales? Are you increasing visibility? Are you driving traffic to your website? Whatever your goal is. And then also, again, with the looking at the data, kind of following your intuition, if you're, let's say your company, its main demographic in terms of customers is teenagers, and your competitors are all active on Facebook and seeing a lot of results from Facebook, it's a likely indication that you should be there as well to further reach your audience and drive results. To kind of back that up, that's kind of more on the intuition and doing some research, but to back that up, look at your data if you have data available.
So take action, understand what your metrics are, look at the results, and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about kind of putting yourself out there and seeing if it works. It's okay if you stop using social media after you've first tried. A lot of companies feel like pressure to keep doing it just for the sake of doing it, and that's just not a profitable for any business just to do something for the sake of doing it.
But on the other hand, do you find that some companies, if they haven't done any social media or haven't done a lot of it when they're first trying something out because they're not sure what to do, they try something, it doesn't work so well, and they just give up?
Yeah, without a doubt. I see that a lot with blogging as well, actually. I feel like businesses, and it's kind of like a symptom of our society today where we want instant results, instant gratification. You know, we order something, we want it the next day, we want to watch something, we watch it right that moment. And the same I'm seeing is from a lot of marketers and business owners. They go on social and they want to see something, you know, blow up. They want to get so many followers and see instant results and go viral and all that stuff that, you know, really doesn't mean that much without the proper context. It's a long-term investment like anything else. I think most businesses won't see success initially on these channels. It's a long-term investment of really putting your ideas out there, focusing on what your messaging is, what content you're getting out there, and then understanding how to best distribute it within your particular community that you're trying to reach. Unfortunately, a lot of businesses will stop a few months in after they see that their blog hasn't had any success. But then if you really dive into what they actually did with their blog, for example, they posted once a week for the first 3 to 6 months, and then that's all they did. They posted a link to the article on Twitter and or Facebook and said, hey, yeah, social didn't work for us. Hey, yeah, our blog failed. When actuality, they really didn't do anything. They put out the content, but they didn't fully support it, whereas they should have pulled back on the quantity of content they're creating and spent some of that time really working to get it out there in a more kind of strategic way and really give these channels the time they deserve. As opposed to kind of quitting too early. I think a lot of people and a lot of businesses make the mistake of just not doing it right from the beginning. And then once they aren't seeing instant results, they kind of, you know, duck out and claim it as a failure when in actuality there's a much better way of doing it.
Yeah, to me it's sort of like it's very similar to business networking where you're trying to build relationships with other people. It takes time. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience with our podcast, we started in the middle of 2014 and it wasn't so clear exactly what was going to happen as a result, but you know, now we're into roughly 60 episodes about half a year late, more than half a year later, and it's you know, it takes time to build relationships, build an audience, get the content to a place where you're comfortable with it, et cetera. So I would agree.
Yeah, I think the networking is a great example of that as well. I feel like a lot of people will go to a networking event. They want to, build a network of the best of the best. So they'll get, 10 business cards from people at a, event and then come home and realize that, they may not even realize it, but that wasn't building a real connection, right? You have to like really invest in the long term to see those relationships be beneficial for either party. And that takes a lot of giving to make that happen. So I completely agree on that point as well.
Brian, do you see differences in branding and marketing strategy and tactics between being an entrepreneur of a small company and being in the C-suite of a major corporation? Because I know you've worked with both kinds, both sizes of companies.
Yeah, I would say there's definitely differences, but in a lot of similarities that overlap. I think in terms of similarities, I think someone in the C-suite as opposed to like a smaller business entrepreneur like myself, personal branding is pretty important. Can drive a lot of results for yourself and your business. And there's so many tools and techniques and types of content you can create to really make a name for yourself, help your business stand out for all the right reasons, whether you're a CEO or the founder of a two-person business. It's just all about how you're presenting yourself and who you're trying to present yourself to, with content or how you're engaging on social or with a podcast like this or what have you. Some of the differences, and I kind of just outlined them as well, is who you're trying to reach and kind of potentially like what type of content you're creating. So, for instance, maybe the CMO of GE will be talking about, employee best practices and like how to hire the best talent, from the perspective of being leadership at a major corporation, whereas someone myself might be writing the same article or trying to, you know, brand or market myself in the same capacity, but at a much smaller scale. So that definitely changes the direction of how I present on that particular topic, because the audience I'm trying to reach is probably a bit different. I mean, it definitely overlaps, but the difference in who they're trying to reach and with what messaging is probably one of the biggest things that differs between the small company and the big company trying to brand themselves. So in terms of success, I would say trying many things out and seeing what sticks and keep investing in that. So something for me, like I kind of mentioned previously, is creating articles, written content has been something that has really helped me stand out in the marketing industry and drives many great opportunities my way. So it's something I'm continuing to invest in. I don't know why I would ever stop at this point. And I'm also consistently tweaking, you know, how often am I publishing? Who am I publishing with? Different distribution tactics, just trying to continually perfect the process so that it continues to drive more and more results for me and my business. Some things that have gone bad, I just, with trying things out, there's always the opportunity for it to fail, right? Something that had the opportunity to fail and luckily didn't, I host, initially it was a weekly Twitter chat, now it's monthly, and I wanted to, I'm really active on Twitter. I love connecting with other businesses there, sharing my content. It's a great distribution platform and platform for kind of cultivating relationships for me and for, you know, the others I interact with. So I set up a monthly Twitter chat called Insider Chat, or initially weekly, and I invite guests, marketers, and business owners who are experts in their craft, and we talk about, you know, how they can succeed at, or how others can succeed at doing similar things, whether that's how to integrate PR with social media, how to be better at content marketing on a small budget, et cetera, et cetera. And it was really hard to get interest from an audience. You know, I would say the first couple were a success because I really spent a lot of time marketing them, but it was a lot of work to, you know, reach out to people in my network and say, hey, you know, please participate. I think this will be beneficial to everyone involved. And I just need a little extra boost in the beginning. And here's an article that I wrote about how to succeed with Twitter chats. I hope it's helpful. You should check out mine. You know, it's every week. And I found that some were really successful. Some were just okay in terms of people interacting with it. So I decided to scale back because it became a huge time investment in making it work correctly. I wanted to just, you know, get engagement, you know, get people interacting with the chat and the guests that I would have on the chat weekly. But it just took too much work for what it drove in terms of results. So what I did was I just decided to experiment with scaling it back, having it once a week. Instead of having one guest weekly, I would have two guests monthly. And then that allowed me kind of changing the frequency of it and it prevented it from being an outright failure. It better kind of segment, you know, better investment of my time to make sure that each chat was the best quality it could be. And, you know, putting it better mapped out how the effort turned into results from the chat.
Brian, what do you see as some of the key ingredients for great leadership in business?
I would say understanding what you know and understanding what you don't know. Far too often, I think, especially people running a business, try to take on every single thing. And obviously, especially when you're first starting, you have to do a lot more than you will when you have a 10-person company or a 50-person company. I think. Really understanding what you know and don't know and kind of filling in the gaps with either other people or contractors or tools or, you know, support here and there on the stuff that you don't know will make you a more effective leader. I think the most effective leaders understand they're smart enough to know what they don't and fill the gap appropriately, because there's no way any one person is good at everything. I think a leader, a strong leader, is agile in the sense that they're willing to try new things, invest in new things, and kind of experiment with figuring out how to best allocate their time to really see the experiment through. I think too often businesses get set in their ways of, you know, this is something that we do well, so let's just stick with it, keep the formula the same, and just keep, you know, plugging and chugging. And that's how you get destroyed by competition in the long term. I don't think you have to drastically change the direction of your business every week, but I think you should always be aware of the industry at large, consistently changing your process so that you're agile and you can kind of change to adapt to the times and the, you know, your customers' demands. And for instance, Blockbuster, how come Blockbuster, you know, isn't Netflix? Or how come Radio Shack is out of business? Because they weren't able to quickly enough adapt to the changing landscape, especially today with all the technology and basically all the access the internet has gave us. That's how people, you know, businesses like Blockbuster just disappear and fade out, because they weren't agile enough to continually experiment with new areas where their business could thrive.
So speaking of along the same lines, who are some of your influencers that have been pivotal for you in your career?
Many people. The list goes on and on and on. And mostly people that don't really know that they're a mentor or an influencer. But one person in particular, Sean Gardner. He's a consultant as well. He, you know, has really made a name for himself in helping nonprofits and small to medium-sized businesses with their social and just overall digital strategy. And one thing that he's epic on Twitter in terms of the quality and value he delivers to the people that follow him. And from kind of observing what he's done to position himself in his business throughout his career, I've really understood how to better pay attention to all the little details that that build upon the impression you leave with others. So for example, like I said, he's epic on Twitter. So he's his handle is Tomorrow Tonight. That's two, and then Morrow, then night on Twitter. And he's tweeting constantly, but not for the sake of getting the quantity out there, but every single tweet is quality. He makes sure that it's relevant to his audience. So in the marketing and business community, it's always a variety of subjects. The author of the content that he's sharing is always credited. He's using a variety of different hashtags. There's always a great image pulled there. He's mentioning the different companies within the piece. He's just really paying into attention to detail with every single piece of content he's putting out there. I'm not saying that's what everyone has to do to find success on Twitter as an example, but I'm saying that all those little details compounded for the long term really kind of illustrate his expertise as a leader. And that's been really helpful for me, is to, you know, not get lost in the details and not be able to execute on, you know, bigger, you know, activations and bigger projects, but to not neglect the most important details that make, you know, your work stand out and really you know, help position you for throughout your career for the success of your business. Another person that's been really influential in my career, and I doubt she knows this, is Ekenarita Walter. She was the lead social strategist at Intel. After that, she was at Brandarati. I don't know how to pronounce it 100%. Brandarati, I think. It was like an influencer marketplace. And then from there, now she's at Sprinklr, the big social media enterprise management tool, as a brand evangelist. And as I was trying to get into writing, you know, more consistently and really get out there in all the industry blogs and, you know, all the publications to just drive more visibility of myself in the industry, she was already three steps ahead of me, and because she's, you know, older and in a different part of her career than I am. But from her approach to personal branding, I was able to kind of, and also pointing back to Sean Gardner in this instance, look at all the details of what she's done to build her personal brand. So it was a mix of guest blogging across different industry publications, speaking at different events, you know, doing interviews with the biggest blogs to the smallest blogs, not ignoring, you know, she wasn't ignoring, you know, a small blog and only taking on interviews with HuffPost, but she was making time to take the breadth of opportunities that came her way to help build a really strong personal brand.
Brian, what are you working on now that you're really excited about?
A couple things. I'm going to be experimenting with creating content and courses, both written content and courses to sell to the community that I've built up to this point. So that remains to be seen if it'll be a success or not, but I'm really excited to try it out and always experimenting with different kind of revenue streams and way of reaching new customers. So that's one thing. So basically helping small and medium-sized businesses better succeed with content marketing on social media that might not necessarily be able to afford a consultant and, you know, big consulting fees, but would need a quick course on, you know, how to approach content marketing on a budget in 6 weeks or what have you, so that I'm able to reach my business is able to reach a wider breadth of customers. Another thing that I'm constantly tweaking and is my own blog. That's just brianhoneyman.com/blog. And what I do there is I most weeks I publish an article every Monday or Tuesday, and about marketing and how to do marketing the right way, mainly with social and content marketing. And what I've been doing is kind of a nod to what I mentioned earlier, is repurposing that content into a couple different formats so that I'm, you know, spending a lot of time on this creating quality content, but I also want to get the most distribution for it that I can with the audience that I'm trying to reach. So with every article I produce, I'm producing a slideshare presentation with it, so it's kind of like a visual version of the article. And then right now I'm also setting up my own podcast to not necessarily, you know, be similar to yours, David, in kind of the interview Q&A, which is a great format. Maybe I'll experiment with in the future. But as of now, I'm kind of thinking of having the podcast simply be a audio version of my blog. So in a sense, it's like an audible, you can rent books and that are just read to you. So in a sense, I'll just be reading my blog post to my audience, maybe occasionally doing, you know, something more specific discussion. But I think offering the same content that you're investing your time and resources into in a couple of different formats is a great expenditure of your time. And me as a small business owner, I think or I hope that'll be a great way of kind of further moving the needle and making every blog post the best it can be, so that it's available in all the formats that different members of my audience will want to consume. So yeah, those are two different areas that I'm exploring currently, and we'll see. I'm excited to see what works and what doesn't, and kind of just pivot from there as usual.
Yeah, no, it sounds very exciting, and yeah, I've seen people who have used both methodologies that you're talking about, the online programs and services, and also program services products, and also doing podcasts where it's an audio format of something that they already have in writing, and they both work really well. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about how it works.
Great.
Keep me posted. And in the meantime, tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
Very simply, just check out my website at brianhoneyman.com. There you can sign up for my email list. I email everyone on the list on Tuesday mornings, most Tuesday mornings, about the content I'm writing on a weekly basis, and also great content from others in the field that I think is worth your time as well. So it's kind of a little bit of me, a little bit of everyone else that I like in the marketing space that's doing marketing the right way. And then I'm really active on Twitter, so just follow me on Twitter at Brian Honigman. I'm sure that'll be in the show notes because my last name is hard to spell for most people. And At the last Wednesday of every month, I do on Twitter insider chat that I mentioned before, and it's just a monthly Twitter chat at 1 p.m. on the last Wednesday of every month where I bring on guests to talk about marketing and business. So, yeah, hope to catch you on Twitter.
That's great. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. So, lastly, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
Someone that you've already, interviewed and who introduced us, without a doubt, Dory Clark is another one of, my mentors who I just have so much, admiration for. She has been doing great work her entire career, but has so quickly established herself as a leading expert, in her field. She's a marketing strategist, a professor at Duke, contributor to Harvard and Forbes, and her book comes out in April. It's a standout. It's about how to establish yourself as an industry expert. And that's something that she's done very quickly, and I think it's remarkable what she's been able to accomplish very quickly through, again, contributing to leading publications, to teaching opportunities, to interviewing, to being active on social media, to really contributing to the conversations and dialogue happening in the industry, and very quickly was able to turn that around into an awesome book that was soon to be released. I think she is the real deal and really understands marketing and business and how to really structure yourself throughout your career as she's like a personal branding expert, if you will. She's doing amazing work, and there's just way too many phonies out there that, tell you, that they're a guru and they know how to do marketing and blah, blah, blah. But she's the real deal and can really kind of put you on the right track to better positioning and marketing yourself throughout your career. So definitely someone who's doing wonderful work, and anyone can learn a lot about from just following her and listening to her talk about these subjects.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about Dory, and it's all about creating genuine value that people need.
Yep, and everyone needs a strong personal brand, without a doubt, more so than ever. And she's your go-to woman for that task.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been marketing consultant, freelance writer, and speaker Brian Honigman. Thank you again, Brian, for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I had a great time.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com. And join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.